The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Previously on the Billionaires Club.
I need to know why you kept staring.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have looked. That wasn't very professional.
It's a little late for professional. Just answer the bloody question. And look at me when I'm talking to you.
Why don't you bring your girlfriend to the club event in Dubai in a couple of weeks? I'd like to meet her in person and get to know this secret woman that seems to be inspiring your business decisions. Then, perhaps we can talk more about the islands.
Of course. That sounds like a great idea. I'll bring her along.
Look, I'm sorry about yesterday, but I...
Couldn't get away from me fast enough?
I thought it would be easier if I didn't.
Easier for who? Certainly easier for you.
I didn't think you would care. It was only sex. No big deal, right? I have my own project. I'm designing an electric supercar. I think it could be a game changer, but Dad won't fund it because he doesn't approve. But if I could just get some backing for a prototype, it could turn Australis around. I'm sure of it. I know you've got every right to withdraw your money, but I'm asking you personally to at least put it on hold. If I get funding for my project, it has the potential to do really well, and then I could pay you back with a ton of interest.
Elite, always discreet, welcome to the Billionaires Club.
As he stood on the empty floor of the tower building that was supposed to have been completed months ago, wind blew through a big empty space where floor-to-ceiling windows were intended to offer a sprawling view of the Thames below. He was half listening, his attention drifting to his upcoming trip to Dubai and the promise he had made to Delaney. He had yet to sort out the issue of his serious girlfriend that he very much did not have. He had no shortage of women who would be happy to play the part. The issue was that he couldn't act to save his life. Delaney wasn't budging on this, however, so he knew he had to sort out a solution if he wanted any shot at securing those islands.
Excuse me, Mr. Evans.
He gritted his teeth at the mention of his own name, a lightning bolt that hit him every time he heard a woman say Mr. Evans. After a week, you would have thought he would have forgotten about one encounter in the back of a limo. Apparently not.
What is it?
Sorry to interrupt. You wanted to know the moment I had that dossier ready. Shall I email it to you?
Suddenly, the single lightning bolt became a storm, igniting him from the inside out. He tried to calm himself. It was just a dossier. A dossier on a supercar company called Australis.
Yes, of course. Email it to me. Immediately.
Done.
He quickly scanned the documents. Australis Supercars. An Australian company that designed and hand-built luxury sports vehicles. Owned by Oliver Little, who managed it along with his four sons and one daughter, he paused on one photo of the python. The family clustered proudly around it. And right in the back, almost hidden, was a smaller figure. Her hand possessively on the roof of the vehicle. Ellie.
So, these are the Littles.
He generally never regretted anything in life. He couldn't. Not if he didn't want to spend all of his time being paralyzed by all the shitty things he had done. He flashed back to the genuine worry glittering in her eyes when she spoke of her family. It was so important to her. And he had been such a prick. He knew he was wrong. Suddenly an idea clicked into place. He could give her what she wanted while also solving his own problem. Everything was a deal. This was business and nothing more, aside from the fact that he desperately wanted to see her again.
When the job had come through, she had almost refused. She never wanted to see Ash Evans again, let alone drive for him. But her options for money were few and far between, and she couldn't bear the thought of calling her dad to tell him that she had failed. She wasn't ready to call defeat just yet. She just needed to regroup. So she took the job and tried to ignore her own doubts about seeing him again. Tried to forget the lingering thoughts of what they had done in the back of the limo that night. The weird sense of freedom she felt when she had given herself to him. And of course, the crying afterwards. It disturbed her that she couldn't seem to shake this day from her mind. She grew more restless as she waited eagerly for him to come out. The pickup spot was an odd one for a billionaire.
What are you doing here, Ash Evans? Not exactly a high society club.
She stared up at the large, featureless council estate tower in front of her. It had a scraggly green lawn and a couple of spindly-looking trees dotted here and there. She double-checked the address, but was interrupted by the sound of the front door to the building swinging open. Mr. Evans appeared and was greeted with a warm welcome by a swarm of the kids. She watched in amazement as he chatted with the rowdy teenagers before bending down to greet a young mother and her newborn.
Who are you, Ash Evans?
Then he approached the limo, and her heart started beating faster. How could she have forgotten the sheer physical reality of him? How completely and utterly hot he was. She stared dumbly, her mouth becoming dry as he finally reached her, opened the door and got in.
You didn't open the door for me.
She glanced up in the rearview mirror and there were his eyes. Those searing blue eyes.
I really expected better service from you, Miss Little.
She composed herself and tried to find her usual laid-back persona. It had slipped away on her, though, and all she seemed to be able to grab hold of was anger at him for being so ridiculously charismatic and at herself for being so susceptible.
Sorry, Mr. Evans. I wasn't sure what temper you were going to be in this evening. I was bracing for a spectrum of outright rude to mildly offensive.
Tonight I thought I might try pleasant.
Pleasant? You?
Drive, Miss Little. There's a bar I want you to take us to.
She opened her mouth to ask what he meant by that, but decided against it. Silence was probably the best response she could give right now. It lasted all of 2 seconds.
Interesting pickup address. Not your usual billionaire hangout?
Not usually, but it's mine. I used to live there.
So that was the dodgy council estate he had grown up on. Interesting.
Really?
Yes. My mother still does. I renovated a perfectly nice place in Chelsea for her, but she refuses to move. Says she likes it there.
Sounds like a stubborn woman.
She certainly is. Perhaps that's why I like stubborn women.
Irritation needled at her. If he was trying to angle for another encounter in the back seat, he needed to think again.
Is there a reason you asked for me in particular tonight? Because if you're hoping to get me in the back seat again...
No. Rest assured, that is not what I want from you tonight.
Then what?
You'll see.
The hint of smugness in his voice annoyed her further. She knew she shouldn't let him get to her, but the irritation sat all the same. By the time they had pulled up outside the address he had given her, it wasn't so much him who was in the foul mood, but her.
Here we are. Do you want me to get your door?
No. I want you to come and have a drink with me.
Excuse me? Was I not clear before?
One drink, Miss Little. I have a proposition I want to put to you.
A proposition? What proposition?
One drink.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
The bar was dark, full of dimly lit alcoves and a small room where people could sit and chat in complete privacy. He led her to the back of the bar, which was adorned with a blue velvet couch and a low coffee table in dark wood. The lighting was atmospheric, the music low and seductive.
Can I get you two anything to drink?
I'll have a Macallan. Neat, please.
Orange juice for me, thanks.
As the waitress disappeared with their orders, Ellie perched awkwardly on the edge of the couch. She surveyed the electricity in his eyes as it turned into something much hotter and more potent. She was suddenly acutely aware of how close he was, his knee nearly brushing her own. It made it hard to concentrate on anything else.
This is about the investment money, yes? About what I asked you in Paris?
Yes.
Her heartbeat quickened. She might just have another shot at saving her mess.
And?
I don't change my mind often, Miss Little. And when a thing is done, I consider it done. But I've had a week to think about what you asked me, and I've decided that I was too hasty in refusing you.
Really?
I've had a chance to review your family's company personally this week, and I'm willing to give Astralis more time before we need to see some return on our initial investment.
She took a moment to remember to breathe. Her insane plan had actually worked?
That's just fantastic, Mr. Evans. I can't tell you.
But you're going to have to do something for me in return.
The triumph glowed a little bit less bright all of a sudden.
If you're wanting sex...
That's not what I'm asking for. You must know by now that I'm not that kind of man.
To be honest, I still barely know you. But I do know your reputation, and it's not a great one.
Please understand me. I don't need a business deal in order to get sex, and I certainly don't blackmail people into it.
So what do you want from me then?
They're interrupted by the waiter returning with their drinks. He flashes her one of his charismatic smiles before taking a sip of his scotch.
I have an event in Dubai in a week's time. I want you to be my date.
Your date? You can't be serious.
I'm a member of a very exclusive club that hosts a lot of charity events around the world. There is an event coming up in Dubai, and I need a date.
Why me? You must have 100 other women who would jump at the chance.
It's a tricky situation. I have a luxury hotel chain that I want to get off the ground, and I'm angling for a couple of islands in the Caribbean that would make for a perfect resort site. Unfortunately, the man I want to buy them from is giving cold feet about selling to me. He wants someone more family-minded to have them.
Ah, and you're not family-minded.
Right. But I want those islands. Which means I need to convince him that I am.
And do you think I can help you with that?
I promised him I would bring my serious girlfriend. Why are you looking at me like I just asked you to rob a bank?
Well, it's not exactly the most ethical thing. Lying to get your hands on someone else's property?
It's business, Miss Little. People lie all the time in business. It's just the name of the game.
But why not find some islands you don't need to jump through hoops for?
Those specific islands are the best sites.
But there must be others.
I don't want any others. I want those ones.
But why?
Because I want them. That's why.
That's not a good enough reason.
Well, that's all the reason you're going to get. Are you in or not?
No. And don't get short with me. It sounds dodgy, and I'm not doing anything dodgy.
Not even if it meant saving your family's company.
Oh, I see. So this is blackmail, then.
Why was she so irritating? And why did he love it so much? He really had met his match in her. He knew he was going to have to tell her the truth if he was ever going to convince her to do this.
Of course not. But I promise you there isn't anything dodgy going on.
Lying sounds pretty dodgy to me.
He composed himself before returning his gaze to hers. His focus was momentarily dragged to her slender fingers wrapped around her glass. His brain helplessly replaying memories of those same fingers stroking him through his jeans.
Fine. You want to know why I want those particular islands? Because my half-brother, Sebastian Dumont, also wants them. And I don't want him to have them.
Okay, I mean, I have brothers too, I get it. Just seems a little extreme.
She must have seen something in his face, because suddenly, sympathy flooded through her expression.
Oh, hell. Is this painful for you? Look, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pry. You don't have to tell me if you don't want to. I just get curious. You can tell me to piss off if it's too much.
Do you know where I got these scars from?
I heard you were a street fighter or something.
The media loved that one. The story that he had been into illegal street fights for startup money. It was true, but the reality was a lot less romantic than the headlines.
Yeah, I was. And one day, my opponent brought a knife to what was supposed to be a fist fight.
And you fought him?
Of course. I never back down from a fight.
Her gaze followed the lines of his scars, her hand twitching as if she wanted to touch them. And quite suddenly, he wanted her to. He wanted to feel her fingers on his skin, with a desperation that took his breath away.
You could have been killed.
Yes, but I was very good at fighting.
So, you won?
Oh, yes. I won. I always won. I needed the money, and that was the only thing that mattered at that time.
It had to be, for his and his mother's sake.
Tell me about your car.
He watched as her genuine smile turned into a forced grin.
I know you don't want to hear about that. Anyway, you still haven't told me why you want those islands.
Fine. I took on those fights for a reason. I needed the money.
To start up your business?
Partly. I also needed to pay back a debt.
A debt?
I already had the startup money. In fact, by the time I left school, I had a nice little nest egg stashed away. Money I'd saved over the years through jobs here and there. But mostly the money came from my mother. From the retirement savings I convinced her to give me. I was going to invest it in a property, and by the time she actually had to retire, she would have millions. That's what I promised her.
His chest tightened at the confession. Memories of how he had convinced her to lend him the cash, despite her fears that it was not the right decision.
I lost it. Every penny. My half-brother took it all. Excuse me, miss, can I get another scotch? Thank you.
What did he do?
The only thing my bastard father ever did for me was pay for private school. The same one Sebastian went to. We became close friends and made plans to go into business together. He had money, plenty of it, but I didn't. And so I had to work hard to get my share of the cash together. There was a property we were aiming to buy, and I thought we had agreed on it. But soon after we left school, he decided on a different site that he thought was more profitable. I told him the deal was shady. Growing up where I did, you get a sixth sense for that kind of thing. But he refused to listen. He went ahead and shelled out the cash without my agreement. And sure enough, the deal fell through and we lost everything.
That's awful.
Our friendship died that day. I swore I would make it on my own from then on. Street fighting was lucrative. Paid cash. And I could earn it relatively quickly.
What about your mother? She couldn't have thought fighting was a good idea.
No. None at all. She disapproved of it all. Said that the money didn't matter. But she was wrong. She's always been wrong about that. Money always matters. Anyway, I got the money back, made my fortune, and I want those islands because Dumont wants them too. And so I'm aiming to buy them out from under him.
So this is some kind of revenge plot?
It's a reminder that I'm still here and that I haven't forgotten.
She looked at him for a long time, not saying anything. Her gaze made him uncomfortable because he had no idea what she was thinking behind those green eyes.
If I do this, you'll give Astralis more time, right?
Yes. I'm a man of my word. Plus, I can introduce you to a few key people at my club. You might find future sources of income for your project.
I need to get Astralis back into the black before that happens.
So, do we have a deal? You'll come to Dubai?
She glanced back at him. Her expression, unreadable. It made him uneasy. Uneasy enough to let a word that he never says to anyone escape him.
Please?
Yes, okay. We have a deal.
Now she waited anxiously for him to pick her up for a change. He had insisted they go to the airport together. They were a couple, after all. Without thinking, she made her way instinctively towards the driver's seat.
Hey. I'm driving, remember?
Right. Thanks, driver.
She flashed him a sheepish grin as she climbed into the passenger seat. It felt strange not having the wheel in front of her. She didn't know what to do with her hands. He drove with a kind of aggressive confidence that she expected of him, taking business calls via a speakerphone the entire way to the airport. Even once they climbed aboard the company's jet, he continued pacing the aisles on calls, filling the space with his own particular brand of vibrant electricity. She knew now that energy was anger. At least this time it was directed at site managers and not herself.
So, tell me how Astralis got into trouble.
They were about an hour into the flight now. He had apparently finished his calls and was now seated across from her, his blue gaze locked on hers.
What?
I've been looking over the financials and it does seem as though there are some issues. Which is odd because it seemed like a good bet when we made our initial investment.
She should have expected him to ask, especially with the money he had invested. But she really, really did not want to have to explain the Mark incident and how she may have turned a minor problem into a giant mistake.
There was a staff issue. We lost one of our best designers.
And why was that?
He had to be let go for...
What reasons?
It was stupid to feel so tense about confessing the truth to him. But she could still feel her hands sweating in her lap. So what? She had made a mistake in her handling of it. She didn't have to say it was her, right?
He harassed a staff member. There was a fuss, so Dad paid him to keep quiet and go away. It was a lot of money.
And Astralis struggled after that.
We couldn't get another designer that good. I tried to fill in, but...
It was you. You were the person who got harassed.
It wasn't a big deal.
Did he hurt you?
It wasn't dramatic, honestly.
Did he hurt you?
Each word he spoke was bitten off. A rough thread of anger running through his voice.
Not physically.
And your father paid him off. Why? He didn't defend you? Get the police involved?
No, he didn't want any fuss made. And I had made it into this big deal already.
How's that?
Mark grabbed me, so I kind of need him in the balls.
A blue flame leapt into his eyes and it looked suspiciously like approval.
Good.
It wasn't good. I shouldn't have done that. I should have just handled it. But Mark told everyone I assaulted him and Dad didn't want to deal with it.
He should have hauled that motherfucker down to the station and booked him.
He leaned forward, abruptly in his seat, his voice low and savage.
My mother was my father's maid. He seduced her and she ended up living hand-to-mouth in a council estate with a child she got no support for. I know what workplace harassment can do to a woman. And yes, I care about it.
His ferocity was a physical force. A wall of hot male anger.
Apart from anything else, I don't like people taking advantage of others more vulnerable than they are. In fact, you're damn lucky I wasn't anywhere near this Mark bastard when he grabbed you. Because if I had been, he wouldn't have had any balls left to knee.
He was threatening like this. His anger not directed at her, but for her. A protective anger. An anger her dad had never displayed once. His had always been at her, as if Mark grabbing her had been her fault.
You like that idea, don't you?
I definitely don't hate it.
That's very bloodthirsty.
You have a problem with a woman being bloodthirsty?
Fuck no. But fair warning, pretty thing. It turns me on.
Suddenly, she wanted him. Very badly. Before she could stop herself, she leaned forward, tracing her fingers over the hot skin of his forearms until she was face to face with him. Then she kissed him hard.
Her mouth was hot, her delicate touch against his bare skin making his breath catch. He knew he shouldn't respond, especially after what she had told him about the prick who had touched her. He feared it was just another prick who would hurt her. But he couldn't pull away from her, because every inch of his body depended on feeling her kiss in that moment. She tasted so sweet. The heat of her body, temptation incarnate. She was wearing shorts today. She was kissing him, desperately. He couldn't refuse her. He didn't want to refuse her. He lifted his hands to her face, sliding his fingers along her delicate jaw. Then he pulled away, holding her carefully.
Lie back. Let me give you something.
but I...
I'm not asking.
He dropped his hands to her bare thigh, stroking her.
If I recall, you very much enjoyed it when I drove last time. Let me do the work for once.
She chewed on her bottom lip as she gave in, sitting back in her seat.
He was acutely aware of how different she was than one of his socialites. She trusted him, even after everything she had been through, and the arsehole that had hurt her. She trusted him. He shoved aside the feeling that had been nagging at him since he met her, that he wasn't good enough for her, or for anyone. This wasn't about him. It was about her, about giving her pleasure, and making sure she would never regret the trust she put in him. Undoing the button of her shorts, he pulled down the zipper and slipped his hands beneath the waistband, pulling her underwear with it. He planned to give it to her, slowly. As he slipped her shorts onto the ground, he took in the sight of her. She was gorgeous. Suddenly, the lovely pink shade of her cheeks turned a scarlet red, and her hands lifted as if to cover herself.
You don't want me to look?
She shifted uncomfortably, unsure of where to look.
No, I just... Mark used to look at me and I didn't like it.
I'm not Mark.
No, I know, but I...
He released one wrist and caught her chin with his fingers, holding her so she had no choice but to meet his gaze.
Ellie, I'm not Mark. This is different, understand? Yes, I like to be in charge, but the only reason I am is because you're letting me.
He tightened his grip to ensure she understood how important it was that she heard him. More than important, vital.
You have the power here. You have it because your pleasure matters. It didn't matter to him. And I'm sorry for that. But I can promise you, it matters to me.
She didn't know what to say back. So she just kept her attention focused on him, soaking up every word as she handed over more of herself to him.
Let me look. Because you're beautiful. And I like looking at you. And I think there's a part of you that likes me looking at you too. A part that you don't want to let yourself acknowledge.
Resistance drained from her arms and wrists as she eased herself back into the seat. He let go of her wrists and slowly reached for the hem of her shirt, tugging gently on the fabric while keeping his attention fixed on her face. A flicker of uncertainty crossed her eyes, but then she slowly raised her arms, allowing him to pull the shirt over her head. She unclipped her bra and let it fall to the floor. Their eyes never breaking contact.
She sat in front of him now, completely naked. She had never been more vulnerable, and yet it was the safest she had ever felt.
His gaze dropped from her eyes and traced every inch of her body, over the slight, sweet curves of her rapidly hardening nipples to the graceful indentation of her waist and the curving plane of her stomach. Down further to the flare of her hips and her rounded thighs.
Beautiful. Absolutely fucking beautiful.
She trembled but didn't move, didn't cover herself. She had gone bright red, but she didn't look away either.
He put his hands on her knees, spreading them apart, watching for any sign of resistance, but there was none. So he pushed them wider, his gaze falling hungrily to the tantalizing nest of dark curls and pink flesh. It was gorgeous. She was wet, too, and he could see the slick gleam of moisture on her skin. Desire pulsed through him, thick and hot, the ache in his groin becoming demanding. Suddenly, her foot moved to his upper shoulder, pushing him back into his seat. She kept it there. Her legs still spread, giving him a perfect view of every inch of her stunning body.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
She loved feeling his eyes on her, and she wanted to give him a show. She began slowly moving her hands down her body, playing with her hard nipples and gauging his response as she went. He bit his bottom lip as she moved lower, the bulge in his pants growing. She moved her left hand between her thighs, spreading her own flesh apart and slowly moving her fingers over her wet folds.
His fingers dug into the leather of the armrests, an overwhelming need rushing over him. His cock ached, but he stayed where he was, enjoying the view.
Seen enough yet?
Not nearly enough.
He watched as she pushed two fingers inside herself, slowly pulling out to reveal a gleam of moisture on her skin. His heartbeat thudded in his own head. He was used to taking what he wanted when he wanted it. He'd never had to wait. But now, here with her, he wanted nothing more than to give her pleasure. He met her eyes with a hungry gaze.
What would you like me to do about that?
I want you to keep watching me.
Without taking her gaze away from his, she shifted one of her hands, sliding her finger over her clit. His attention dropped to her hand, entranced on what she was doing. Pleasure encircled her, a sweet ache made all the more intense by the way he moved, by the way he followed her every move. To have this powerful man watching her as she touched herself made her feel incredibly powerful herself. His expression was taut, his jaw hard. She could see how difficult it was getting for him to hold back. She arched her back, moaning as she moved her finger faster, watching him from beneath her lashes, his gaze fixed.
You like to push, don't you?
No fun otherwise.
The blunt, scarred lines of his face became set, his knuckles white where he gripped the armrests. His nostrils flared, his focus intensifying. Was he near the edge? Watching him watch her was unbelievably erotic, and it wasn't going to take much more to send her flying. But she wanted to see him break first. She lifted her leg over the armrest, opening herself up wider. He growled, a low, rough warning. Exhilaration ripped through her. She arched in her seat again, sinking both fingers deeper, moaning at the pleasure rolling through her.
Miss Little, keep playing with fire, and you're going to get burned.
Why? Am I too much for you? Please.
Please what?
Make me come.
He didn't reply, merely turned his attention back between her thighs, covering her pussy with his mouth. He teased and licked her clit, nipping it occasionally, just enough to send a sweet ting of pain through her body. One more flick of his tongue and she was gone, barking in her seat, arching and shifting as the pleasure rocked through her. She didn't know how long it had been before she came down from the high, her body pulsing and her heartbeat roaring in her ears. Then his hands were on her as she was being carried to the low couch on the opposite side of the cabin. He laid her down carefully before putting one hand either side of her head, leaning over her and staring into her eyes.
I want you. In fact, I don't think I've ever wanted to fuck anyone as badly as I want to fuck you right now.
Then fuck me.
Wildfire blazed in his eyes as he stripped off his clothes. She was panting now, the ache between her thighs building once more, begging to feel him. He positioned himself over her, then pushed himself slowly inside of her. She shuddered, digging her nails into his hard back. He didn't look away from her, not once, as he sunk deeper into her. Then she wrapped her legs around his waist and arched up, her nipples scraping delicately over his hard chest.
Oh, God. You're amazing.
He made another one of his low, sexy, rumbling sounds, and his rhythm intensified. Her gasps of pleasure and his own rough groans grew louder as they came closer to the edge. Then he shifted his hand between her thighs and found her clit, stroking her as he thrust. The pleasure flooded through her as she screamed into his mouth. His grip tightened, holding her together as she fell apart in his arms. His thrust got wilder before he tore his mouth from hers and turned his face into her hair, giving one last thrust, his body going rigid as he came. Suddenly, she felt the inexplicable tears coming on, blinking furiously to hold them back. It felt good, so good. Why was she crying? She managed to keep the tide of emotions at bay as his hard body anchored her to the couch, his hot breath in her ear.
My assistant booked us a suite with adjoining rooms in Dubai. But I'm telling you now, at the moment we land, I'll be wanting to take you into that suite, spread you out across that bed, and keep you there the entire bloody night. If you don't want that, you need to tell me now.
That's all I want. That is all I want.
She knew they were crossing a line and could never go back, but she didn't want to go back. She just hoped she didn't regret it.
Ellie sat beside him in a green gown that appeared to be constructed out of nothing but tissue. It had a neckline that plunged almost to her belly button and fit like a glove around her hips and thighs. She looked gorgeous. But he liked her just as much in a gown as he did in her uniform. She seemed to be nervous, though. Her foot was twitching as she pulled on a strand of hair.
You don't need to be nervous. You look beautiful.
Thank you. I'm not nervous, though.
Yes, you are.
He took her hand from her hair and thread his fingers through hers, laying it on his thigh.
Maybe I am. I'm just not used to wearing dresses.
Why?
I stopped after Mum died. I look just like her, and Dad found that difficult.
Difficult?
When I say I look like her, I mean I'm the spitting image of her.
That's nice of you to want to protect him, but he shouldn't have asked that of you.
It wasn't something he asked for. He was just so lost without her and not one for emotions. I just wanted to try to help him in some way.
And what about you?
What about me?
Did anyone help you?
He didn't know what made him ask that. Maybe it was the sadness in her eyes, or the way her fingers had tightened around his. He already knew the answer. No one had. The lights from the city outside glided over her face, a flash of something raw in her eyes, and he felt his chest constrict.
I'm sorry. You don't have to answer that.
I had my brothers, but they were a lot older than me. Dad had no idea what to do with a 7-year-old girl, so... No. I guess I didn't have anyone. It was fine, though. I coped.
He stroked the back of her hand with his thumb, trying not to give in to the anger he felt on her behalf.
It wasn't fine. I know you coped. You're one of the toughest people I've ever met. But that doesn't mean you didn't need anyone there for you.
Her hand tightened in his, and she flashed him a weak smile.
And what about you? Did you have anyone?
He didn't want to talk about his situation, but it was his own fault. He had introduced the subject in the first place. He knew he couldn't not tell her now, not after she had just opened up to him.
I had my mother. My father wasn't part of my life. He got rid of Mum once he found out she was pregnant and wouldn't pay a cent towards helping her with anything. The only time was when she begged him to pay for my schooling. I tried once to get something from him when I was 13. Mum was having difficulty covering rent, and I thought I might be able to convince him to help us. I went and stood outside his house, and when someone eventually came to the door, I don't know who it was, but not Dad. They told me he didn't want to see me. That I wasn't his problem.
The anger burned inside of him at the memory. Her fingers squeezed tighter around his, a simple gesture of reassurance.
Anyways, it's loss. Can't lose something you never had.
It's the potential, though, isn't it? The potential for something more?
There never was any potential for something more. I wasn't good enough for Dad. That wasn't his problem. Anyways, we weren't talking about me. We were talking about you.
And now you sound like me.
That got a smile from her. An easy, natural one that seemed to light up the interior of the entire car.
That's better, pretty thing. That's the smile I'm talking about.
How did you meet him? Your half-brother?
His amusement vanished. He definitely didn't want to talk about Dumont. He didn't want her to know what a petty bastard he was. How he destroyed the only friendship he had ever had because he couldn't let go of the past.
I met him at school. My mother finally got Dad to pay for my schooling at a private prep school. And I met him there. I'd been kind of shunned by the other boys because I didn't belong. He found me one day and refused to leave, despite how cold I was to him. Brothers have to stick together, he said. He didn't give a single shit where I'd come from.
No wonder you were so angry with him when he lost your money. He broke your trust.
Yeah, I was pretty hurt. So I went after his business. He tried to mend fences, but I ignored him. Don't make the mistake of thinking I'm the wronged party here. I'm a petty bastard, and I'm fully aware of that fact.
Is that supposed to be a warning?
No, just the truth.
You're very uncompromising about certain things. Why is that?
I don't apologize for who I am, and I don't hide it either. You take me as I am or not at all. Understand?
He didn't know why he felt it was so important to say that. Perhaps because he didn't want her thinking he was something he wasn't. Someone better, perhaps.
I understand.
Now let's go. It's showtime.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.